Welcome to The Milk Check, a podcast from TC Jacoby & Company, where we share market insights and analysis with dairy farmers in mind.
Welcome to this month's episode of The Milk Check. I'm Ted Jacoby, president of TC Jacoby & Company, and today we are joined by Yara Morales, sales director for Mexico and Latin America, Diego Carvalho, dairy ingredient trading director, and special guest Fernando Anaya, director general for DLAC. DLAC is a very good customer of ours in Mexico, and we're excited to have him. Fernando, welcome, and thank you for joining us today.
Ted, thanks for the invitation. I'm really glad to be with you and your team.
This episode will be released in Spanish and in English, the first in our Understanding Export series, which we will publish quarterly. Today, my first question, Fernando, to you is, when we think about the Mexican dairy market and how much dairy Mexico imports, what is the number one thing exporters to Mexico must understand about the Mexican consumer? Obviously, one of them is price. But beyond price, what's important to the consumer in Mexico?
Okay, well, Ted, I think that's a really good question. Well, just to have a rough number of the imports into Mexico, I will say that 15% of our needs have to be imported every year. And that really is not changing a lot. I think that's the same number from maybe 10 years into now. So what are the exporters have to be aware to be in the Mexican market? The number one for sure will be price. The second will be price. And the third will be price. So that's something that I guess you can agree on that. Of course, Mexican customers will be looking always to have a better price. But again, it's not the only thing that Mexican customers are looking for, and some things that the exporter have to be aware of. One of them will be regulations. Mexico, for the past 2 or 3 years, are entering into new regulations. For example, for non-fat, there's this new regulation. It's the NOM 222. And I know there have been a lot of challenges into the exporters because they have to be sure that they will be ready to fulfill this regulation. It's not that hard, but again, that's something that the exporters, mainly in the US, had to be making some changes in their COAs, registering some labs in order to fulfill these regulations. So again, that's something that the exporters into Mexico have to be aware of. The other thing is logistics. The way that the Mexican customers are purchasing mainly non-fat is changing. Right now, what the Mexicans are looking for is to have the product available in the customs agent warehouses. Why? Because it's very quick to get product into Mexico. We think maybe 10 years ago, in order to get product into our warehouses, we will need maybe 3 to 4 weeks because of the time it will take to make in the contract and the transit into the warehouse in the border and then all the import process. It will take 3 or 4 weeks. And right now, what a lot of customers are looking for is to have the product already in the customs agent's warehouse and having the documents in advance in order to have the health permit. So everything is just like ready to import, no? So right now, for example, if you need product and the exporters have the product in the warehouse of our customs agent with the documents, we can have the import process the next day, and 2 or 3 days it will be in Mexico City. So we need less than a week to have the product available in the Mexican warehouses. So that's something that is really changing. And of course, one of the reason of that is that Mexicans are not having really high inventory levels. Most of the companies are really just looking for the product they will need really in the short term. So that's something is affecting the way the exporters are seeing the Mexican market.
Makes sense. Question, what would you say is the, with all of the skim milk powder that Mexico imports, where is most of it used? I know cheese manufacturers, fluid milk. What is kind of the breakdown of the different places where skim milk powder gets delivered these days?
Well, I think that the number one application will be cheese. I think that will be, and one of the reasons that is what we are really bringing in the more and much volume is non-fat, low heat, in bags. No, so that's the number one product. And most of that product will be going into cheese. But if I will separate the different applications, I would say that's one of the most important ones. The other will be to pasteurizers there. And for that, you will see the import of skim or non-fed medium heat. So that will be another of the most important applications. The other will be ice cream manufacturers. I think much volume is going into ice cream manufacturers. And the other that is a big amount for sure is going into Lufthansa. If we saw them as a separate entity, I will see the Mexican government is getting a lot of product of non-fat that is going to be mainly going into social programs. Or even in fluid. But I think that will be the most important applications in Mexico right now.
Okay. And going back to the cheese manufacturers, one thing that's interesting to note is because non-fat dry milk from the US tends to have higher protein levels than skim milk powder from other parts of the world, that tends to be the desired product for cheese manufacturers in Mexico. Is that a fair thing to say?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, non-fat low heat will be the first need for cheese manufacturers.
Awesome. Yara, anything to add?
Yes, it's interesting that the United States is the market for Mexico for non-fat dry milk. They can get the products very quick in a week and a half, they can have the products there. So they use a lot for also the Mexico export and make a lot of yogurt for infant formulas. The infant formulas is number one to export from Mexico to another country and also to United States. So,
interesting.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. That's his number one.
Agreed.
Diego, what are your thoughts?
I was going to ask Fernando a little bit more about the recent developments in Mexico. And one of the questions that most of the U.S. manufacturers are trying to figure out is imports or U.S. exports to Mexico for January. We saw a significant decline in the product that moved across the border, especially the non-fat. I believe it's a 15% decrease. So I wanted to ask Fernando what he believes are the main causes for that decline and what's his expectation for what's left of 2024.
Thanks for the question. Diego and I agree with you. The import numbers for January 2024 were less than January 2023, and I think that 15% will be right. But I think we have to start reviewing the numbers for imports since maybe the third quarter of 2023. Because if you see and you compare the numbers from 2023 with 2022, you will start seeing the decrease really August, September of last year. So I think what we are seeing right now in January is the same decline that we have been seeing since August, September of last year. The reasons for that, I think, are several. One of them that I am pretty sure of is the impact on inflation on the finished product in Mexico. So inflation numbers are pretty high, and the impact of those inflation in the end user's product is pretty simple to see. So that will be one. The other thing that I expect to affect the imports numbers for the rest of the year is the participation on Liconsa. Liconsa last year import a lot of skim into different sectors, especially social programs. And as far as we know, Mexican government will not import any powder this year. At least that's the announcement they are sending right now. So that will be one of the big players that is not going to be participating. And the other one that I am seeing with less interest on importing these ingredients is Lala. It's a large importer in Mexico. So what I feel is that the import numbers will be less this year compared with 2023.
Do you think something that's affecting also the non-fat imports is the recent increase that we have seen in cheese imports? A lot more cheese crossing the border. Do you think that's somehow going into the end user as a replacement for some of the proteins and the solids on the non-fat?
Well, I agree completely, Diego. As we have been seeing, the import numbers of cheese is getting very important increase in the last couple of months. And I agree. If you are getting more cheese into Mexican market, and we are not seeing the increase in demand at the same proportion of the increase on the import of cheese, of course, what we are doing is producing less cheese because of that. So yeah, I will agree that we will need less protein from non-fat because we already imported a finished cheese product. So yeah, I agree with you. I think we will see a little less interest just because we are importing more cheese from the States.
Makes sense. I have another question, Fernando. There's a lot of noise and a lot of headlines currently talking about the Mexico weather situation. There's a severe drought in Mexico and also high temperatures for this time of the year. Has that impacted the local fluid milk production somehow? And do you expect it to have an impact in the next few months?
Well, yeah, that's true, Diego. We have been hearing that the drought and the high temperatures that Mexico will be dealing right now and in the future. So yes, to answer your question, we think that we will be producing less fluid milk just because of the impact on the weather. Even though we have seen in the past weeks a lot of fluid milk available in Mexico, mainly in the central and northern part of Mexico. And of course, it's partly because of La Flush for sure. But one thing that we have been hearing is that the demand of cream is decreasing just because of these high temperatures, that the consumers are not willing to take a lot of cream. And that at the same time is decreasing the price of fluid milk, that it's making for some producers to get more fluid milk just because the cream is cheap. But at the end, I agree that because of the weather, we expect that the fluid milk should decrease their produce in 2024.
If you're a dairy producer or a cooperative looking for a better market for your milk, or you're a food manufacturer hoping to strengthen your dairy procurement or risk management strategy, please reach out to TC Jacoby & Company. We've been building worldwide relationships with all sides of the dairy supply chain for over 75 years. Tap into our expertise for unlimited free consultative support, and we'll develop a sales or procurement strategy that hits all of your targets. Please visit us online at www.jacoby.com to get started. Thanks for listening to The Milk Check. Back to the show.
What are you expecting in terms of the political situation? We have a presidential election in the summer this year. What are you anticipating in terms of the impact on the currency, on the general economic outlook? Do you expect any big change, anything that we should closely monitor?
Okay, well, I think that the change of government this year, I think it will be like a soft one. We have three candidates right now, but the numbers are pretty clear about which one is really at the top. I don't think that we will be seeing a lot of changes from now into the election date. That will be in July. So that's the reason I think it will be like a soft one. But I am pretty sure that there will be some indexes that will be affected. One of them will be exchange rate. I think that the exchange rate will be going up just because we are getting very close into the election day. But after that, I think that the exchange rate will be decreasing and we will be getting maybe around the numbers that we are seeing right now. And if we speak especially into the impact into dairy, the first one that was a little surprise for most of us, we thought that just because of the election year, Liconsa will be trying to get some power to inject that into social programs. And that didn't happen. At the contrary, they say that they won't import any powder this year. So that's something that I'm sure that if you see the political side, that will affect into dairy. But I think right now, exchange rate will be the one that for sure will affect just because the reference between the exchange rate from now into the election days.
Fernando, I have to ask the question. It sounds like Mexico is going to have a female president here starting after the election in July. What do you think about the fact that Mexico ends up with a female president before the U.S. does?
Well, that's interesting for sure. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that will happen this year, Ted, because from the three candidates we have, two are female, and they're the number one and two if you see the polls right now. So I completely agree. There's no way that the third one will win. So I am pretty sure that we will have our first female president. And yeah, I'm surprised that we are doing that before the States. I see that Hillary was really close of doing that. That didn't happen. And I don't think that this year will happen for the States. So yeah, it's incredible. I thought that the U.S. will be getting their first female president before the Mexico one. I think that's the one thing we are going to be the first, Ted.
Mexico gives surprises.
Yeah, this year will be give a big surprise with that.
Well, that's wonderful. Diego, anything else?
I was going to ask Fernando also to talk a little bit about the exchange rate. With the current strength of the Mexican peso and the competitiveness or the low price of the non-fat, I would expect that the end demand gets some, some support. but I wanted to hear your opinion. What do you think on the exchange rate? And do you think the current low prices are going to create and incentivize some additional demand?
Okay, it's an interesting question for sure, Diego. If we compare the price for non-fat into the Mexican market last year, the highest price that the companies were willing to pay was 90 pesos. Last year, I think maybe mid-September, if I recall correctly, the cheapest price we have was 45 pesos. So it's almost half. And the reason for that is the combination of the price of non-fat and the other was the exchange rate that, as you were saying, is very, very low. But what is interesting to understand is the impact into the consumers. So the thing is that because the way that the products are distributed in Mexico is very hard for the end users, for the consumers to see the benefit of decreasing cost. So if you go to the supermarket, the prices are not going down. So what really happened last year and is happening right now, because if you compare these prices with the prices 2 or 3 years ago, the price is really cheap. It's below the average historically for sure. So that of course will be interested, but this benefit is really just getting into distributors and manufacturers. It's not getting really into the consumers. So maybe it will take time in order to impact the consumers. So right now it's not getting into them. But again, if you see the numbers, if you compare the price of fluid milk with powder, with this exchange rate, powder will be cheaper. So I think that the demand for powder will be good because of the prices we are seeing right now, combined price with exchange rate.
Fernando, I have a question about the exchange rate.
Okay.
So from our perspective in the US, we've been very surprised by the strength and stability of the exchange rate between the dollar and the peso over the last 4, 5, 6 years. What is that stability in the lack of what we used to see, which was a regular decrease in weakness in the peso relative to the dollar, but the fact that it's been stable and strong, how is that manifested in terms of inside Mexico in the economy?
Well, the impact is huge, Ted. Of course, Mexico, it's a larger importer in a lot of things, a lot of commodities. So having an exchange rate low will help most of the Mexicans for sure. And it's something that is really strange. If you see it maybe in the last 3 years, it's very hard to see the exchange rate going down. And we have seen that since 2021, 2022, after the huge impact from COVID, the exchange rate has been going down. It went up to 25 pesos. Right now, it's just below 17. That's a lot. So, of course, volatility is impacting for sure. But again, seeing the exchange rate as is it right now, it's like numbers, I think maybe 2017, 2018, we have the same exchange rate. So we are 6 years of having the same exchange rate. It's really strange, but for sure it's having a good impact because of the imports in Mexico. Of course, it will affect the other way around to the exporters. The exporters are not very happy, but we know that how Mexico depends on the imports. And of course, just seeing a exchange rate stable is good for the manufacturers that depends on the imports, because they can easily see the cost in pesos because the exchange rate is not moving really a lot. So having an exchange rate stable benefits a lot into the Mexican companies for sure.
Have the Mexican dairy farmers been complaining because they haven't really been able to raise their milk price as a result?
Well, they will always complain, Ted.
That's true everywhere in the world, Fernando.
Yeah, they will do that for sure. But the truth is that, yeah, of course, the farmers are not happy. Their fluid milk, it's not getting the price they were looking for. Compete with powder with this exchange rate, it's really, really difficult. So they have a lot of challenges for sure. So they will continue not being happy. That's what I think. I don't think that the price for powder and the exchange rate will change to compete with fluid milk. I don't think that we are really close into doing that. So yeah, we're having a lot of farmers complain.
Got it. I will say one thing. If we think of it just in terms of dollars, 6 years ago, the price of powder was what, Yara, in the U.S.? About 75 cents? Now it's $1.20. So the price of powder has gone up quite a bit in the meantime, even if the exchange rate has stayed stable. So,
and something interesting is that when AMLO, the president, he was doing the campaign, he said that he's going to protect the farmers and don't buy non-federal meal, don't import products from United States. And in the beginning, it was kind of hard because Liconsa didn't buy products because they were waiting for that. But in the end, obviously, they need the non-federal meal from United States. So I think right now they don't want it in this year because it's election year. That's why. Yep. Yeah, they want to show to the farmers that they are not doing.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm, I agree.
Yara, do you have any more questions for Fernando?
Hi, Fernando. I think we covered all the questions that we have scheduled. Thank you very much, Fernando.
Diego, how about you?
No. Thank you so much, Fernando. It's great listening to all of the information you have, all of your experience. So thank you so much. It's been great.
Thanks for the invitation. It's great having these discussions. Of course, I think it's very important for the exporters in the U.S., especially for Jacobi, to understand the Mexican market. And it's hard for sure. It's not learning to speak in Spanish. More difficult than that. But I appreciate, of course, the invitation and the time and the interest to understand better the Mexican market.
Thank you, Fernando. We really appreciate you spending the time with us today. And thank you for the long relationship we've had over the years. We really appreciate it.
Now, I feel very, very, very good working with a company like you, Ted, for sure.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Fernando. That is very productive. Thank you. Always for your help.
Thanks. You're welcome, Diana.
We welcome your participation in the Milk Check. If you have comments to share or questions you want answered, send an email to podcast@jacobi.com. Our theme music is composed and performed by Phil Kagi. The Milk Check is a production of TC Jacobi & Company. Mm-hmm.